these could... Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Lovely. Yeah. Thank you. So, this is exciting. Do you recognise the logo? Yeah. Who's done a deep dive into the book of Titus lately? Yeah, I know one person has because they live with me and they've been doing, they had an essay due a few weeks ago on Titus. I think they had an assignment which was a word count longer than the book itself, which I always find quite fascinating. Anyway, for those of you who haven't, it's located in the New Testament. It's found just after Timothy. And the reason why it's there is because it was written by Paul to Titus. And in it says, "The reason I left you behind in Crete," so it's Paul writing to Titus, "was to organize what needs to be done and to appoint elders in each city, as I told you. Now, elders should be without fault. They should be faithful to their spouse and have faithful children who can't be accused of self-indulgence or rebelliousness. This is because supervisors should be without fault as God's managers. They shouldn't be stubborn, irritable, addicted to alcohol, a bully, or greedy. Instead, they should show hospitality, love what is good and be reasonable, ethical, godly, and self-controlled. They must pay attention to the reliable message as it has been taught to them so that they can encourage people with healthy instruction and refute or stop those who speak against it." But who are the elders of our church? You know, we spend a lot of time talking about what Jesus calls the church in general to be and where he is leading our church in particular, but not always as much time trying to get to know our elders so that they might instruct us and encourage us and pray for us and guide us on that journey. So today we're going to fix that. We're going to do it in a style which is slightly less formal than normal, slightly more in the moment, slightly reminiscent of a popular chat show, but not enough to warrant a copyright strike. Just enough unpredictability to hopefully keep everybody awake, and I'm looking at you, Sam. But the idea is quite simple. We want you to get to know your elders a little bit better, not just what they do, a little bit of the who they were made to be, how they follow Jesus, and maybe just get a sense of where they see Jesus leading this church into, or what they see Jesus leading this church into. And yes, they know this is happening, mostly, as I have my butter. Can we... That will be going off later. So let's get started. So we're going to welcome our first guest to the couch. This is someone known for their wisdom, their faithfulness, and at least one strongly held opinion about coffee. Would you welcome Pauline? Hey. Welcome. Please sit down.
Well, thank you.
So, it's... Yes, you do need a mic. You can have a blue one.
Does it go?
How about now?
Yeah. What? No, I meant does it go with the outfit? That's important.
Oh, well.
Hey.
Shall we? No, there we go.
Right.
Yeah, this is mine.
So automatically you can see how an elders meeting will start. Pauline, let's start easy. What's something people here might be surprised to learn about you?
Can I do four things in 30 seconds?
Sure.
I had my grandson on Friday afternoon. I would like to dance as easily and freely as my grandson does, with it all hanging out and not caring about anybody watching. I was born in Auckland, and I don't own up to that very often, living in Christchurch.
I didn't know that.
I'm quite quiet about that in Christchurch. We spent a year in Canada as a child, so I had my fourth birthday in Jamaica. I've spent 25 years as a practice nurse, and I still love boils and pus.
I can really relate to that. Awesome. I'm sure. Is that a bit of new information for some people?
Yes.
Is that too much information for some people? You and I can discuss our best boil stories one day.
Excellent.
Pauline, where have you seen Jesus at work in your life recently?
I was thinking I am still growing and puzzling my way through the mystery of relationships. Family, looking colleagues.
What?
Yeah, he's still a mystery.
We're pointing at Ken, Pauline's wife, who we love. husband.
He's out. We're out.
That was going to be next week. Sorry.
I am still growing in how relationships work. I thought just a couple of things where I don't know, I cruise through life and sometimes I don't see Jesus working kind of very well. Am I on cruise mode or something? But I just had a couple of conversations recently. One was with a work colleague who's actually got a terminal condition, and I'd just gone to spend some time with her, and I think it was the first time that we actually kind of got under the skin, you know, of how she was feeling about that. And I just had one of those moments of this is feeling like sacred ground. And the other recent conversation is we've got a park out the back of our place, and we have a new dog. So I walk out the back of our place, you know, around the park a fair bit, and you get to know some people around there. And there's one older woman who has a mad schnauzer, and we're just chatting one day, and what came out my mouth was, you know, are you happy? And where it went was, actually, would you like to come and join us, you know, on Wednesday morning over at the library with the Something Different on Wednesday group? And she said, I think I'd like to do that. So she's turned up,
lovely,
you know, for the last... So this is one
That's
of the Freedom
brilliant.
Trust kind of things that happens through the week.
Yeah.
So she's turned up for the last couple of weeks and finding a place to belong a bit.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
I think that's a great example of how Jesus works in our lives. It's often not until we look backwards at our weeks that we actually see it, isn't it? We live it in the present, but we recognise it looking back. That's beautiful. So if we do that in our natural life, in our everyday life, we live it in the now, but we don't recognise it until we look back. What do you think about our church right now? What do you think he's inviting us into for the future that we'll be able to look back on and go,
There he was.
What's he inviting us into?
Gosh, all kinds of things, eh? I love the community connection, the stuff that happens through the week here. It is just alive, and it's just fabulous to see, you know, kind of people finding somewhere to connect and belong and that kind of thing. I think I'd also, and we are, you know, that loving God's creation, loving God and loving God's creation. We just had a great time on Friday morning planting with Gareth. Man, we had a stunning day.
Wonderful.
Was it 2 degrees? I don't know. At, you know, kind of 9 o'clock on Friday morning, but we were out in the sun at Brooklands planting, and it warmed up very quickly. And it was just a fabulous day. There were pea waka waka, bellbirds, good coffee, good Tim Tams, and just doing something positive in God's creation.
Back to that original, to care for this place that we've been given for this time.
Yes.
That's lovely.
Yes.
That's really helpful. Thank you. Mm. Well, let's add to the couch. So this next person brings a steady presence, brings a deep care for people, and I'm told has a slightly competitive streak that only comes out at certain times. So let's welcome Neil. Welcome. No, you've got to shake my hand.
Got my young person's hat on.
Yeah, we're going to expand the mic.
Sorry, that doesn't match your...
Thank you. That matches your jersey.
There we go. Welcome to the elders' meeting, third Thursday of the month. So, Neil, if we followed you around for a normal week and we weren't accused of stalking you, what would we actually see?
Well, Sunday I come to church in the morning.
Awesome.
I quite often do that. Monday morning I help lead a Bible study with English as second language. And if you were here last week, you saw Simone and Angela up here representing that. So that's Monday. Oh, I'm a Monday afternoon supermarket shopping with a young lady I live with. Tuesday morning, the gym. Wednesday, spend some time at home. Apparently I'm meant to spend some time with my wife during the week other than just helping everybody else.
Okay, excellent.
So I do a bit of that on Wednesday.
We'll discuss that later, okay, whether he's ticking that one.
Thursday afternoon, I lead another Bible study with John Stewart on discipleship group, Newish Christians. Friday, every second Friday, Spraydon, where we have a friend who's in a motorised wheelchair. He's a quadriplegic, and his wife goes out for a couple of hours shopping in the library and whatever, and we sit with him and help him with drinks and conversation and whatnot. Yeah. Saturday, maybe a bit of gardening. Did a bit of gardening yesterday.
Get heat stroke? It was warm.
No, it was in the afternoon. And then Sunday I come to church again and keep on doing that sort of thing.
Wonderful. So what you're telling me is that if we were going to be following you through the week, we'd have a lot of places that we would be going.
Yep.
There's a lot that happens.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm too busy.
Wonderful. So within all of that, what has been growing your faith lately or stretching you?
Well,
how has God been using your life to...
Just have to get my old people's stuff on now.
I use reading glasses, so don't you talk about them being old people's stuff.
I mean, what I do generally, using a big sort of a thing, is caring for people in the church and the community and helping lead Bible studies. And what's growing my faith is... Not everybody grew up in Dunedin in the era I did, and they don't all agree with me.
Mm.
I mean, some come from Auckland, and some come from China, and some come from Scotland, and not everybody agrees with everything I say.
Yeah.
And it stretches me, and it's really valuable to get different aspects. If everybody came from Dunedin and agreed with me, I'd never learn anything. But because people challenge me, I'm learning a lot, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. We really are. This is one of the Baptist tenets of us being a body that sharpens and shapes, that we wrestle with the world together, and that really impacts our understanding of who God is and the Word and what He is saying. So it's beautiful. It's what it happens and looks like in real life. Yeah. So, Neil, what do you quietly hope for our church over the next few years?
In our lives, each person's life, everyday life, in the community, in the workplace, wherever you are, that we would be living out the Christian life, where appropriate, speaking, and we would be being involved in the outreach of the church and the community, in overseas mission and giving. There's a pet hobby of mine. Money. Adam had it up here before. We're looking at being about $30,000 in deficit. And my hope over the next few years is that wouldn't be such a problem. At the moment, we're having to seriously look at reducing staff hours. Where does the church money come from? It comes from rental, these buildings and rental properties, and comes from the giving of the congregation. And I'm not telling you how much to give. I'll let God do that. But yeah, I'm hoping in a few years' time money wouldn't be such an issue.
Yeah. Not just the money bit, but with all that Neil said about what he's hoping the church will be moving into, do you find yourself agreeing with that? Is there anything that you would add to that, Pauline?
No, that's good, because I feel like I've already kind of
You've spoken to that. Lovely. Well, let's keep going then.
Hang on, one thing I would like to say.
Shall we give him this one chance, or shall I use my... No, we'll let him.
With the church in a few years, leadership. At the moment, we have brilliant leadership. We have Polly in the office. We have Sophie with the children's. We have Jack and Shantae with the youth. We have Steve with the church manager. And we have yourself and that lovely husband of yours. And it's brilliant leadership. And even the elders get on with those people. And it's really good. And I hope and appreciate in a few years' time we would have continued to have good leadership. And I really appreciate what we've got.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I really appreciate being a pastor here is we do have a terrific staff team, and we have terrific eldership, and we come together around the risen Jesus. And you guys all come together around the risen Jesus every time we come and worship on a Sunday. And that's the important thing. Jesus remains central and we are serving him. And it's awesome. Yeah, great leadership team. Okay, well, let's keep this going. Where are we? Because we want to be out of here before 1 o'clock. That's my aim. Slightly shorter than my normal sermons. So this next elder is someone who carries both wisdom and humility and has definitely had at least one "this did not go to plan" moment this year. Welcome, Pamela. Woo-hoo! Here we go. Welcome. Oh, look,
matches your skirt there. So
we go. We're all colour coordinated. Again, our elders' meetings are pretty. So let's keep this going. Tell us about one of those "this didn't go how I planned" moments.
Well, is it gone? Just keep talking.
Red. Might have to swap mics.
I like. Actually, I've chosen a moment from a couple of years ago at our last church camp.
Yeah.
Didn't go to plan. It was in the afternoon. My friend Ali and I were wandering around the grounds and we heard go-karts. And so we wandered over to the go-karts and there was go-kart track and Jack and I think Sam and Isaac were there running it and all the youth were there on sitting on their tiered seating watching things. And Jack calls out, do you want to have a go? And I said, yes. And Ali looks at me, because she's the daredevil, and well, I thought, it's go-karting. What could go wrong? And I have fond memories of the one time that I'd ever driven go-karts was day after day at a camp and when I was fifth form, year 11. And so I thought, I can recreate my youth. Yes. So, so I got in the go-kart. It was a bit of a snugger fit than I remember, but I am twice as wide as when I was a teenager. And anyway, they showed me how to go and stop, and okay. So I went around, did my laps, and it was all great fun, and I don't think I disgraced myself. I think I went at a fairly good speed. And I pull up very smoothly, right in the right place where everyone is. And then I go to get out, and I push myself to lever myself out, and nothing happened. I thought, oh, I tried again. I thought, well, it was a snug fit, but I'm not jammed in here. And then one of the guys came over and said, you know, well, actually, put your feet down, down on the ground. I thought, oh, yeah, that'll give me better leverage. So I push again, and nothing happened. I realised, oh, I've lost all my strength in my arms. Where have my muscles gone? When did that happen? And so then it ended up having to be a team effort, really, because I was looking up at these three strapping lads there, and I thought, I bet they're thinking, how are we going to get this old lady out of the cart without breaking her or the cart? But anyway, so it was a team effort. Aww. So with a bit of, they got me straddled the cart and pushing and pulling, we managed to extricate me from the cart. So, yeah, it was fun, but it wasn't quite how I planned to recreate my youth.
That's tremendous. I just want to say that if any of you guys are wondering if our people can be discreet, I'd just like to say that's the first little inkling I've ever had of that story, so they've kept that to themselves. It's tremendous. I wonder if any of you can kind of relate and you think you've got a story where things haven't quite gone to plan. Thank you. So faith-wise, if we were going to follow you, but just on a fairly ordinary Tuesday, what would following Jesus look like for you on that normal, unremarkable Tuesday? We're not going to do the full week, like Neil.
So Tuesday, it's a work day. I need to get in, drive into Ara and be ready to teach at 8 o'clock. Somewhere between my alarm going and sort of driving in, I sort of wake up. And
That's very good, and good. We are grateful.
Then I can sort of say, hello, Lord. That's to invite him, and that's the length of my prayer, two words. But it brings me to be mindful of God through the day. Mm. And so just how I, the things I say, the tone that I use when I'm frustrated with students or staff. And just mindful of God working all things together for good, and being mindful or just aware that perhaps he might be prompting me, just being aware of that. That's mostly just getting on and doing my job. For dinner that night, I will stop and again, it's a short prayer of thanks and thoughts for the day and how it's gone. Not too long, because I don't want my dinner to get cold. And then at night, just as I'm going to bed, that's when I read my Greek Bible that sits beside my bed just a little bit.
Did you say Greek?
Greek, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's only a little bit, and it sounds impressive.
Brilliant,
but
you're keeping that up every night. You'll read a little bit from the... Yeah.
Yes.
How many years have you been doing that for?
Oh, I think about 20. Whoa. No, not quite 20. 2007, yeah. Went to Laidlaw and learnt my Greek.
Yes,
but
brilliant.
When I started, it was just reading and the. You know, yes. That's all I could read.
Yes.
And they just encouraged us to go from there.
But, yeah, brilliant.
And it also helps to know the English in your head from all these years that helps the understanding.
That you can match up.
Yeah. And, you know, short prayers, I go to sleep.
Lovely. So it starts with the very beginning of the morning, and you turn your head towards God.
Mm.
Yes, and so that's the foundation of your day.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely. So if we were going to expand that vision and turning your head towards us, where do you long to see us as a church, as an expression, this expression of the body of Christ? How do you long to see us grow, not just bigger in numbers, but deeper?
I think I'd love us all to grow in assurance of our faith, and so that we can walk confidently in God's love and joy and peace and rest in this crazy world. So however that assurance comes to you, whether you need it in your mind or your heart or your experience, whether you read it, hear it, just that you can be assured of faith. And I think I was also thinking of rest that and peace that that we do church with those values in mind and with those attributes in mind, so that we don't get burnt out, that people don't drift away and decide they're going to be Christians by themselves, but we're all drawn to what we can get from here.
Mm. Yeah. Is that something that you two are sensing as well? Or is there... Yep. What does coming together to worship mean to you? Is that important? You know, this collecting, this gathering together.
I think I was struck fairly recently about... just faithfulness, you know, that we can kind of come together and think, ho-hum, you know, it's Sunday, here we go again. But by gosh, it's really important. And it's God and it's the Spirit moving amongst us and its community, and it is love shown amongst us and it is alive. It's worth doing, coming to church.
Yeah. I think, just thank you again. I said it from the front, just as you led us in the blessing. And just being able to turn around, and actually it's not very often that we do stop and have the opportunity to actually voice a blessing one to another. Because we are all a priesthood of believers. And just... for me, that was to be able to look at each person and light my gaze. Yeah, Alex has a big thumbs up on each person and pray a blessing was just really meaningful. So thank you so much for leading us in that.
I think not only the Sunday gathering, but also as we meet in various activities, small groups or whatever during the week, whether you're participating in a Freedom Trust thing or... small Bible study or whatever, I think that's really important to get to know each other.
Yeah. Well, we're building a proper couch now, aren't we? And we're going to get the next person up. So this next person, yes, this is kind of musical chairs almost, just no music. And it's not a chair, it's a couch anyway. And you're a husband, I'm getting it. This next person is known for their care, their insight, and their ability to ask some very good questions at exactly the right moment. So would you warmly welcome Mike? Oh, yes, welcome. You're going to have to share the mics now. Mike, share the mic. Where did I put my unprepared questions? Okay, so we're going to go quick fire here for you for a moment, Mike. Let's go quick. Coffee or tea?
Both.
Oh, in the same cup?
No.
No, there we go. There is a limit to what he will drink, people. Not tea and coffee in the same cup. Early morning or late night kind of person?
Both.
Is that why, if I phone you about two in the afternoon, there's not much of a sound? It's a...
Very silent. Yeah,
there's a... Yep. Loud worship or reflective?
Both.
Oh, so we've got quite...
Go to Easter camp, there's no reflective worship. Is that right? Big top? Big top, big top.
Yeah, true. Okay, last one. Rice or roast?
Rice or roast? Ooh.
Oh, we've finally got one that he's got to think about.
Nah, rice.
Rice. Ooh. Okay, I sense that there might be a little bit of controversy amongst the rest of the crew there. You'll have something to talk about when you go and see Mike after this. So... Mike, where have you had to trust Jesus in a way that wasn't easy recently? Because we all have those moments, don't we?
We do. When you've journeyed as long as I have.
Surely not that long.
I've got my super gold card, so woo-hoo! That's worth celebrating. So I work in the electrical industry, and the company I work for, we've gone through quite a few changes over the last few years. Some of it's driven by external sources, some of it's driven by management, obviously, and then, of course, the board. One of those big changes that happened recently was we were actually shifting offices, and our manager had been moved sideways. And so we were sort of without a manager for a wee while, and all this we're getting in preparation to move. And then suddenly the edict came down from up top, you will not have permanent desks anymore, you will be hot desking. Sort of the catchphrase of the whatever we're in. And it was like, hold on, we're techs. We have toys. We have things we play with, wires, and we make sparks, and... You know, if we've got a lab, and this edict came, no, it's going to apply to everybody. And I started to stress over this because our manager had moved sideways and he really wouldn't bat for us. He was just a yes man. And the person that stepped in was batting for us. And they were going to appoint him as our manager. And then he turned around and said, actually, I don't want the role, because they weren't going to backfill his position, which was totally understandable. And we backed him. So anyway... We're preparing this big move, and it was, no, you shall be, you need to get rid of this, this and this. And we said, don't tell us what to get rid of. We're techs. We need these for our day-to-day job. And this is people from workers perceived versus workers done. Mm. And so I started to really stress over this, and I just said, God, what's going on? You know, how do we do this? And he said, why are you worrying? Leave it to me. And it came very clear. So anyway, a couple of weeks go on, and I am still stressing. I'm actually starting to lose sleep over it. And God kept saying, why are you worrying? Hand this over to me. Mm. In the meantime, they'd appointed or recruited a new manager. New manager finally came in. He came around the team, high, big, burly South African guy. And it's like, whoa, where'd we get him from? Anyway, he comes to my desk, and on my desk at that time, I had a wee cross, the flax cross that we were all handed one morning
Easter.
Here.
Yep.
And I had that on my desk. And he looked at it and he said, Mike, what's the significance of that? And I told him. I said, I'm a believer. And he said, bless you, brother. So am I. And with that, the door just, the weight just fell off. Mm. Suddenly, we had a Christian manager. And I tell you what, he bats for us. And God said, why were you worrying? Leave it to me. Mm. And he has batted for us and done an amazing job.
Mm, that's wonderful. Yeah. I think so often, and we all do this, because we're modern. We are in a modern era, and we take our secular and our sacred lives and we compartmentalise them. But there is none of that in the Bible. There is God, and God wanting lordship over every part of our life, but then also saying, I want to be involved in every part of our life.
And the difference this manager has made to us in the last 8 months that he's been with us, and we're in our new building and everything, we've got other teams now saying, why is your team so happy? Why are you always enjoying your work? And it's the difference. He cares about people, and he's really, God is working in our team. And we've got a few Christians in our team now, so it's really great.
So if you take that experience and you've seen where God has said, yes, I mean business, I'm going to come through, what do you think that would look like to us as a church to take Jesus seriously with what he says in this season?
One thing I love about Papanui, and we hear it time and time again, when you talk to new people who have come in, what made you stay is the fact that someone welcomed them. Someone was interested in them. And I'll go back to when the boys were at school, they were at Middleton Grange. And Middleton always had a theme, a bit like what we've got with our church. We've got the waka, and then pick up your paddle, and then set your direction. Well, Middleton had this theme. And one year it was hands, and one year it was feet, and one year it was voice. And the whole thing was, you are built for community. And it was just putting it all together. You are built for community. We're not here by ourselves. And that's what we are as a church. We are built for community. And the other elders have reiterated that just from what they've said. So, you know, we're not all mouthpieces, but we've got hands that we can serve with. We've got feet that can help pick up something and move. Okay? And that's what I believe we are as a church, and we're in this community. So, yeah.
Is there anything that you would add to that? Anything? No. This is not how the elders' meeting goes, people. This is.
I was just going to add that I think that also works with the elders, as you're probably seeing. We're all different, got different strengths, different weaknesses, but yeah, it's together.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. What I do love about the elders' meeting is that actually there is a lot of. Yes, I do have something to add, because everybody's voice is a little bit different. Everybody comes from a slightly different place and has slightly different way to look at things, or a slightly different lens, and it brings such a rich discussion and a rich understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus is calling us to be. Yeah, so great. Well, thank you.
I want Pauline's question.
I'm getting ready to.
I know you want to play with that.
I do. I want to play with my buzzer.
I like Pauline's question.
Okay, what was Pauline's question?
The first one.
Got to go right back
Tell
to my.
Tell us something about yourself that.
That we might be surprised.
Oh, surprised
to know
about.
Mike.
Okay, Mike. Okay.
I've been bitten by a police dog.
Oh,
so there you go.
Claim to fame.
Was it deserved? Was it in the line of duty?
It wasn't deserved, and it was in the line of duty.
There we go.
So I used to set, a mate of mine was a dog handler, and I used to set tracks for them for training. And so I had to, you know, walk down the street, remember three lampposts, cross over, go down another two lampposts. I had to remember exactly where I'd tracked. And I'd hide, strategically hide. And this particular day, Ion, Pete's dog, he was tracking me, and he found me, and instead of barking like he's meant to do, speak up, he came in for the rouse.
He saw a wrong'un, is what he did.
So I got bitten.
Oh, my. Did you do it again?
I did it again. But
okay.
Have you recovered? You've recovered?
I don't know.
And this is why they keep coming to the elders' meetings month after month. They have got durability, resilience. Okay, well, we're going to have the final addition to the couch. This person brings much wisdom. They bring perspective and the ability to hold on to what matters most when things get busy or when situations get complicated. So let's welcome Sal Noah. Welcome, Sal Noah. Again, who wants to be an elder now and come to our meetings? There's something. After that, Sal Noah, what brings you real joy outside of the life that we see here?
I'm part of a performance group for ukulele, and it's seeing the joy that music brings, especially because we visit homes. And there was just this one lady that she was just so sad looking, and that one person went from that to smiling. And for me, that's worth every trip to home.
Wonderful. I attempt to play the ukulele. I play the ukulele just badly. But I do say that you can't play a sad song on a ukulele. It's just... it's a delight.
Suddenly I thought about sad movies. But
that's true. Okay, anyway, moving right along. If we became... what else have I got? Here we go. If we became known for just one thing in our community, what would you hope that it was?
Pure love. Source from the Lord.
What would that look like?
A community that accepts you for who you are at that time in your life and opens their arms widely so you can walk through. And will listen, will sit and listen and take time with you.
What about you guys? How would you think a community of pure love, if we were known as pure love that is Christ within our community, what would that look like for you guys?
It looks like what the Bible's asking for. Mm-hmm. You shall be known by your love for one another and tolerance, acceptance, all that. I said I had a bit of a stress with my small groups and people, but yeah, tolerance, acceptance, that's... I fully agree with Sonora on that.
Sonora, where do you see that happening currently? Or where are the pockets that you wished it would spread out into?
I kind of see it daily. Weirdly, I do a lot of hospital visits, and the staff are invaluable, but... I also see it in the family that sit around me today. I've seen, been a part of Oasis, and there's a lot of really precious people that are a part of that fellowship that accept me for who I am. They know I'm shy, but they've just been sort of like my extended family. And I see it in the youth. They're really special people in themselves, and they're really growing in their faith. And I don't know, I mean, it's the list can go on because God is so amazing. He just stretches our horizons, and I just can't help but think, what a mighty God we serve.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys would add to that? Any desires or anything that you really wish that we could be filling a gap?
I'd really, and we do, you know, I'd love us to be a place of hope, you know, because I think there is a lot of despair and loneliness and whatever, and may we hold on to hope in Jesus.
What's something Jesus has been reminding you of lately, Sonal?
I'm just going to hark back to my star word for the year is abundance. And I was battling to keep that word, but then I have really sat before the Lord, and it's been, I wouldn't say an easy year for me, but he's really revealed where he's been working, not only in my life, but in my family, in our church. And I'm kind of noticing even the small stuff now. Like yesterday, I found a monarch butterfly in my garden. And that always reminds me of a friend of mine that I lost years ago. And when I saw it, I thought, am I going crazy? They meant to be flying around at this time. And then I saw the wind come up, and I thought, oh, I better start praying for these monarch butterflies. But, a bit nervous up there.
Yeah. Can we just give the... We'll give them again. But they have been really nervous about being up here in front of you today. So I was a bit nervous about how many of the elders would come. But we've got a full couch. Well, the thing is about this format is that we couldn't really... Can we go to the next slide, please? We couldn't really commit to this format without a little moment of jeopardy or risk. So we can't really have a red chair, but we can have a black stool. So what we're going to do is you're going to get 30 seconds to answer this question. How would you explain the good news of Jesus, like you're talking to a neighbour over the fence? Now, if they go a little bit too long, or if they just kind of seem to lose their way, we might have to just lovingly intervene for them. Okay? So here we go. Neil, do you want to start? You can sit on the...
Find out.
You have 30 seconds to talk to your neighbour, starting from now.
I would tell them that God, the creator of the universe, of everything we see and don't see, loves them, cares for them, sent his only son to die for them, and because of the...
I just think I know a lot of your neighbours are actually immigrants, and that might have been going a little bit too fast for them. We want to keep it light and exciting and interesting, so thank you. Can I? Pauline. Not too flowery, I've heard over there. So if I hear it get too flowery, I'm going to have to push this as well. You guys can tell me when you've had enough. So 30 seconds.
This is so cool.
30 seconds. I love my job. 30 seconds to tell your neighbour the good news of the gospel.
So what you actually get is what happens. So... what happens in my life is the dog woman got invited to something different on Wednesdays. The woman who's had neck surgery gets prayed for. And the guy down the road who's got dementia, we keep an eye out for him.
I mean, those are all really, really great, but it's not over the fence to your neighbour.
They are all my neighbours, and it's what I do.
She's pulled the scripture out about that neighbour and the Samaritan. They're not elders for no reason, let me just say that. And what's the time? Let's just, Mike. Let's...
Go, Mike.
We want family.
seconds to your neighbour over the fence. Starting from now.
Wilson, haven't seen you in ages. How you doing? Oh, I heard a great podcast the other day. You're into podcasts, aren't you? Well, this guy mentioned he was a Christian. Eh? What? I didn't know that about you. Oh, no, that's all good, Wilson. I knew you were a believer. That's great. So, what are you doing this Christmas with your family?
I just can't believe you're talking to a basketball. Wasn't that Wilson? Was that the...
Tool tie.
There we go. Do I have anybody from the crowd who would like to come and show us how it's done?
Adam.
The people's vote. I can't. How can I say no to the people?
I'm a bit scared of that thing.
So maybe Sam and Jack, if you could just be there to help her get up when she...
Wait till the zap comes, Pamela.
She told me I didn't have to do it, so there's nothing prepared.
You didn't, it was the people. How would you tell a neighbour about the good news of Jesus?
The good news is that Jesus came. He is God who came to us, and through his being born, his growing up, his teaching, miracles, and death, resurrection, coming back to life, and going back to heaven, we can know that God exists, that there is a God, and that God loves us and wants a relationship. He wants to connect with us, and we can do that by... through Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. No buzzer. So, well done, people. So, here you go. You've got different stories. You've got very different personalities. But what you're hearing is a shared desire to follow Jesus and to lead us into following Jesus better. That his church becomes a place where his love is real, it's authentic, it's experienced, and it's shared out. So these are the people helping to hold that responsibility, but it's something that we all step into together because we're Baptists and we are all belonging into that priesthood of believers. We discern together, we vote the elders in, but we need to keep them upheld in prayer in that time as well, so that they can be discerning best how to lead us, how to shape us. So we're going to finish up with prayer. I think, are you up to leading us in the last song to finish?
Oh, we can.
Elder Pauline?
Yep.
Okay, and then Adam will send us out in a benediction. But let's just pray. Jesus, I want to thank you for these people up here on the couch. These are people that you have called to lead us and to serve us in this place. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their honesty. And thank you for their willingness to follow you and to come up here and be on a couch. Would you continue to shape us as a church to be people who love you, who love you deeply, that love one another really well, and that we would reflect that love clearly within our community. So lead us all, I pray. Amen. Thank you very much. And can we give them another round of applause?